Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, the 25th of May, Pope Francis sends a letter to the President of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity on the 25th anniversary of St. John Paul II's encyclical Ut Unum Sint. Greece reopens its islands to visitors following coronavirus restrictions. And Laudato Si year gets underway with an invitation to join in the Season of Creation initiative later this year. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. 25 years ago, today, Monday, on the solemnity of the Ascension in 1995, Pope John Paul II published his landmark encyclical Ut Unum Sint, on ecumenical commitment. The encyclical takes its name from Jesus' prayer at the Last Supper, that they might be one. In Ut Unum Sint, St. John Paul II renews the call of the Second Vatican Council to work diligently to bring about unity among Christians. It's a call echoed today by Pope Francis in a letter to the President of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, Cardinal Kurt Koch. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Pope Francis has recalled the Church's irrevocable commitment to the task of ecumenism on the 25th anniversary of St. John Paul II's encyclical, Ut Unum Sint. In a letter addressed to Cardinal Kurt Koch, the President of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, Pope Francis notes that Ut Unum Sint was published on the solemnity of the Ascension under the sign of the Holy Spirit, the creator of unity in diversity. It is in that same liturgical and spiritual context, the Pope says, that we now commemorate it and propose it once more to the people of God. Pope Francis writes, "On this anniversary, I give thanks to the Lord for the journey he has allowed us to travel as Christians in quest of full communion." He says he shares the impatience of those who would like to see greater progress, but insists we should not be lacking in faith and gratitude. The Pope points to the growth in mutual knowledge and esteem among separated Christians, and the ongoing theological dialogue and dialogue in charity, as well as various forms of ecumenical cooperation in daily life, as positive steps that have been taken since the Second Vatican Council to heal the wounds of centuries and millennia. The Pope also expressed his gratitude for the work of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity and praises two recent initiatives of the Dicastery, a new Ecumenical Vatimacum, or guidebook for bishops, set to be published this fall, and the launch of the journal Acta Ecumenica, which is designed to renew the Dicastery's information service and assist all who work in the service of unity. Echoing Ut Unum Sint, Pope Francis encourages us to keep in mind the progress already made towards Christian unity, but also to scan the horizon and ask, with the encyclical, how much further do we have to travel? Pope Francis reminds us, though, that Christian unity is not chiefly the result of our own activity, but a gift of the Holy Spirit. That unity, he continues, will come not as a miracle at the end of the journey, but in the journey itself. Unity comes about in journeying, he says. The Holy Spirit does this on the journey. Pope Francis concludes his letter with the invitation to ask the Spirit to guide our steps and to enable everyone to hear the call to work for the cause of ecumenism with renewed vigor. I'm Christopher Wells.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's corruption trial is underway in Jerusalem, marking the first time a sitting Prime Minister has stood in a criminal trial. Nathan Morley has more.
The opening of this trial marks the first time in Israel's history that a sitting Prime Minister is facing a criminal trial, and it comes just a week after Netanyahu was sworn in for a fifth term. Hundreds rallied on the pavement outside the courthouse, some showing support, whilst others expressed their dissatisfaction. As he arrived, Mr. Netanyahu, in an all-out attack against the justice system, charged that the trial was a conspiracy by the media, police, prosecution and leftists to oust him. With his right-wing Likud party ministers standing around him, Mr. Netanyahu accused the justice system of carrying out an attempt to eliminate the will of the people. Mr. Netanyahu faces charges of bribery, fraud, and breach of trust in three separate cases. In one case, he allegedly took bribes from a former control holder of Bezeq, the large national telecom company. In the first hour-long hearing at Jerusalem District Court, defense lawyers asked for a six-month delay in the proceedings, saying they needed to examine 300 files of evidence, and they also needed additional time to prepare their case. The prosecution, though, objected, saying the defense team had more than a year to prepare and examine the evidence. The judges are now expected to give a decision sometime this week. According to Israeli media, it may even come on Tuesday. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In Greece, low coronavirus numbers have prompted the government to reopen to tourists 3 weeks earlier than expected. Francesca Marlow reports.
Monday saw the reopening of ferry services to Greek islands 3 weeks earlier than planned. Since a lockdown was imposed in late March to help curb the spread of the coronavirus, travel to the islands has been highly limited, with access being granted only to goods suppliers and permanent residents. However, the country's low infection rate prompted the government to reopen the islands, along with bars and restaurants, on the 25th of May instead of the 15th of June in an attempt to salvage Greece's tourism. Tourism is a vital part of the Greek economy. According to government data, over 34 million visitors travelled to Greece last year, spending 18.2 billion euros. Greece has had a much lower infection rate compared to other Mediterranean countries. It has seen nearly 2,900 infections and 171 deaths from the virus. Looking at other Mediterranean countries, according to data collected by Johns Hopkins University, almost 33,000 deaths have been recorded in Italy, nearly 29,000 in Spain, and 4,340 in Turkey. State-run health services to combat the coronavirus are being extended to the islands, with intensive care units being placed on five islands, Lesbos, Samos, Rhodes, Zakynthos, and Corfu, along with existing ICU facilities on the island of Crete. Social distancing regulations and passenger limits to ward off new infections have been imposed on ferries and at restaurants. I'm Francesca Merlo.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson faced mutiny in his party and fury across Britain on Monday for refusing to sack his closest aide, Dominic Cummings. The aide is accused of flouting the coronavirus lockdown by driving 250 miles from London. Johnson said Cummings acted responsibly and legally and with integrity by heading from London to Northern England with his son and his wife, who was still ill with COVID-19 symptoms. Many believe that was hypocritical, given the government's directive at the time to avoid such movements. The US is restricting travel from Brazil to the United States. The announcement comes 2 days after the South American nation became the world's number two epicenter for coronavirus cases. The new restrictions come into force on the 28th of May. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinta Ardern was unfazed by an earthquake that struck the capital Wellington on Monday while she was doing a live TV interview. Ardern was speaking from the Parliament building called the Beehive at the time. She assured the host that she was safe and the interview resumed. There were no injuries, Ardern confirmed at a news conference later. The United Nations has commended India and Bangladesh for taking measures ahead of the deadly cyclone Amphan that saved many lives. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres also praised their preemptive action and effective relief efforts. Robin Gomes reports.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres also expressed his sadness at the loss of lives after the most powerful cyclone in over a decade ripped through the densely populated coastal areas of eastern India's West Bengal and Orissa states and Bangladesh Wednesday afternoon. Cyclone Amphan packed rains and winds of up to 170 kilometers per hour with maximum gusts of 190 kilometers per hour when it crashed ashore, flooding vast areas. The natural disaster further exacerbated the two nations' battle against COVID-19, compromising efforts to maintain physical distancing. In a brief statement on Saturday, Guterres spokesman Stefan Dujarric said that the Secretary General is saddened by the loss of lives and destruction as a result of Cyclone Amphan in India and Bangladesh. He extends his deep condolences to those who have lost their loved ones and wishes those injured and affected by the disaster a speedy recovery. More than 3 million people were evacuated in both the nations before Amphan made landfall, preventing large number of deaths. Guterres commended the governments, first responders and communities for their preemptive work to make people safe ahead of the storm and to meet their immediate needs afterwards. The UN chief also expressed solidarity with the people of India and Bangladesh as they face the impact of a devastating cyclone, while also responding to the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to West Bengal state officials, the cyclone has caused a damage of $13 billion to infrastructure and crops in seven districts. In neighboring Bangladesh, officials initially put the damage at $130 million, saying it could rise. The two countries have lost at least 102 people in the cyclone, mostly because of house collapses and electrocution. I am Robin Gomes.
A new collaboration between Vatican News and the United Nations Educational, Science and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, sees us broadcasting a series of messages directed at enhancing awareness and promoting positive behavior during the COVID-19 pandemic. Today's message invites people to only trust official information sources and credible media outlets.
Has someone you know sent you advice from an unknown expert against coronavirus? Watch out! The expert may not be an authentic one. One way to manipulate information is through the use of a false expert who can add more credibility to the message. Always verify who that expert is and which organization they represent. During the COVID-19 outbreak, only trust official information sources and credible media outlets. Do not share unverified information. This is a message from UNESCO.
A special celebration called Laudato Si' Year got underway on Sunday. Pope Francis invited everyone to take part by caring for creation and our most vulnerable brothers and sisters. He also released a special prayer to accompany the year. Numerous initiatives are planned for Laudato Si' Year. One is the month-long Season of Creation, an ecumenical celebration that takes place in September. The Vatican Dicastery for Promoting Human Development on Monday urged Catholics to take part and to heal our broken bonds with creation and the most affected by climate change. Devin Watkins has the story.
The Season of Creation is an annual ecumenical celebration of prayer and action to protect our common home. It takes place from September 1st, the World Day of Prayer for Creation, to October 4th, the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. This year's event takes place within the context of the Laudato Si' Year, which Pope Francis opened on Sunday. The year coincides with the fifth anniversary of his encyclical. The Vatican Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development launched a special initiative on Monday, urging Catholics to take part in the Season of Creation. A video was released in partnership with the Global Catholic Climate Movement. Monsignor Bruno Marie Dufay, the Dicastery Secretary, also wrote a letter about the season. He said Pope Francis's 2019 message for the Season of Creation is particularly relevant this year, as the world continues to struggle against the coronavirus pandemic. As the world experiences deep uncertainty and suffering in the midst of a global emergency, said Monsignor Dufay, we are called to recognize that a truly healthy recovery means seeing that everything is connected and repairing the bonds that we have broken. Monsignor Dufay said Catholics can begin to plan activities that help lead to new paths for the Church and for integral ecology, as Pope Francis urges in his apostolic exhortation, Querida Amazonia. Communities are encouraged to celebrate a special Mass or a pilgrimage walk. Church leaders are also invited to raise awareness among the faithful about sustainability practices and advocacy initiatives. This special season, concluded Monsignor Dufay, offers us the chance to work toward the renewal of our earth and the precious relationships we share. I'm Devin Watkins.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and on Twitter. In the Vatican, thank you for joining us.